If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome to season 2, episode 9 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. With me today is the usual gang. Janelle Wheeler's here.
Hey, everybody.
Matthew Aguilar is here.
What up?
And over in our lounge section is producer Jim Viscardi.
Hello. A lounge section.
Ooh, that's
lounge.
Good.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
It says in the show notes, lounge chair.
We need to get him a Mai Tai.
Read the show notes.
Some cucumbers.
Lounge chair. Season 2. We changed the title. So, while we are lounging and or working, we have a lot to talk about today, so we got to get to it. We have some new set photos for some pretty big films that we are going to talk about that caused a little bit of an uproar on the internet last week. We are also going to talk about the teaser trailer. Teaser trailer for the new
Candyman. Is that a new rapper?
It is very teasy.
I mean, it was teasy coming at you from comic book.
Sounds like a great rap name, teasy trailer.
Little teasy.
That's great.
I'm going to talk about a big shakeup that happened at DC Comics. We're going to talk about some late-breaking news about Jurassic World 3, and that's just our news segment. After that, we are going to deep dive into The Walking Dead Season 10B. My goodness, my tongue no speak the words no good today. We're also going to talk about the big reveal from Star Wars and what's coming next, and we have a recap of Toy Fair, new comics, and all that good geekery for you. So, like I said, we got a lot to do, so let's jump right in and get started. Up at the top of our news segment, so last week, we got, as I said, two big set photo reveals for two big movies. The first one that kind of shut down the internet was our first full look at Robert Pattinson's bat suit from The Batman.
The Batman.
So cool.
Yeah, as you guys remember, we got a first look video, which teased the suit, but kind of carefully cropped things so we didn't see certain details, like, you know, anything below the chest or waist area, or the gloves, or even the ears on the cowl. So all of this was a mystery. And we said at the time that the reason they do these kind of these first look videos usually is because they know the production schedule, something's going to be shooting like outside. Paparazzi, both professional and amateur, are going to be there, and the photos are going to start coming out. So you get ahead of it, you kind of control the style and the presentation of it. And it went over pretty well. And I can see why, because now we got these set photos, and I'm just further up front and for the record, I'm still behind Pattinson's bat suit, and
oh no,
I agree.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't love it or hate it. I'm still behind it because we haven't fully seen it yet.
That's
so
true.
I always want to reserve judgment until I actually see the thing in motion.
Cape can make a lot of difference.
Yeah, not just a cape,
oh,
but
wow,
like how
yeah.
it functions. I mean, it always looks a certain way when they're just standing around. It also looks very differently when they're moving and doing
stuff. A very good
and
point,
actually
too.
Batmaning and fighting and doing action and all that. So I want to see that. But I could see why they wanted to get ahead of it with the video, because in the set photo, I mean, there's been a whole string of Dark Knight hockey pad jokes about this kind of Batman outfit, because it does have like big shoulder pads. There's been jokes about Black Widow because the wrist, the gloves have these almost like Black Widow stinger gauntlet things around them. The boots look like biker boots. There's been all kinds of...
Well, he's on a bike.
Yeah, I know. In the set photos, he is on
to
a bike
fair.
And a motorcycle. So this is biker Batman if he has a special biking outfit. You don't know. But yeah, no cape. We still don't know why no cape in the set photos. Is it going to be digital? Is he just not wearing a cape?
Which yeah, it would look really cool
brought
on
up
the
a
bike.
Lot of strange arguments in this office last week about whether or not you could ride a motorcycle as Batman with a cape. Charlie Ridgely, who was like, you can't do that. Like, blah, 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 physics. And we were like, what's the last shot of The Dark Knight, Charlie? Like, what's the last shot of The Dark Knight? The very last shot. And is what? Oh, right. Batman on a motorcycle with his cape fluttering in the wind.
But didn't Batman also have... a cape in... What was it? It was in Dark Knight, right? Where he's chasing after the Joker?
She literally...
Where have you been?
I think it's
just
the end.
Literally
the end of the movie.
What's that?
You said the very end of the movie. This wasn't the very end. Like, that was like...
But I'm just... My whole point was that the last shot of The Dark Knight is Batman's cape
all right.
on a motorcycle fluttering
Did you know that
I thought he said Rises, and I was like, I think he watched a very different movie.
Dude, you just gave us a perfect Rick James move.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, I mean, there's no back. I remember the back cape fluttering. So there has been a cape, but we don't know if what's going on with this Batman. But like I said, I could get with it because when it's on this stuntman who looks like Ben Affleck, by the way, with his
build. Oh, my gosh, the lips.
Yeah.
Yes. Dude, that's crazy.
The stuntman for Robert Pattinson looks like Ben Affleck, which is hilarious.
Is it the same stuntman?
Like, I don't even know.
We need to check into that.
Here. Yeah, we got
to
see who this guy is.
He's got a good
chin,
though.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy,
chin.
Like, I was joking with Jim, but, like, seriously, like, this guy now does have, like, a career boost because of his set photos.
Right.
People are wondering who's the Ben Affleck lookalike stuntman guy in Batman. So, yeah, there's, I mean, it looks kind of like cosplayish a little bit. I know Matt, I feel like Matt has something to say over here.
Oh no, I honestly thought I would be the only negative Nelly about the suit. I expected everyone to like be like, oh my God, it looks amazing. And then I felt bad that I was going to be like the, but I'm glad. No, this is good. I'm agree with you kind of. I again don't have, it takes no faith away from the final product and it's going to probably look all great when it's on screen and final, but it does look a little, it looks a little rough, and it's just the way he's, it very much looks like it's not made for him. It's like designed for somebody else, and this dude just has to wear that size.
Oh yeah,
like,
we should put out the caveat that like they give stunt performers like very downgraded versions of the costume.
Yeah.
So this is not the costume.
Exactly. Got you know, and it looks that way in this photo. I don't have as much of a problem with the,
Are they missiles? The talon gauntlets.
That's what I said. Like, there's quite a bit of when the first sneak peek came out, or, you know, there were a lot of, you know, people were picking out different comic inspirations, everything from the bat symbol to the cowl or whatnot. We get even more noticeable homage type things here with these shots, right? Where, you know, it's very much 0 year. The bat cycle looks like the 0 year.
Bat cycle looks awesome, by the way.
The arm things are very, very talon looking. I don't know if that's the point, but if anything, I would imagine it's more of a nod than anything else, which is very, very cool.
Yeah, but I like that.
But the cowl looks, I don't like, I like it if stitched together,
undone.
I like the idea
finished.
Of it. I just don't like how it looks. But again,
do we think this is his motorcycle cowl? Because this one does have goggles.
Yeah,
there
are
lenses over the eyes, which everyone's like, oh my God, white eyes. And sure, fine. But do we think, like, does he pop them out when he's not on his motorcycle? Are they only there for motorcycle riding? Like, for the stunt, just so that, like, rain doesn't get in his eyes?
What if to bolster Charlie Ridgely's physics theory, it's a retractable cape and it's a special automated helmet that, like, the eyes just automatically, like,
boop. Yeah, that was my thing. I mean, know. You're not running the Batman.
This is low tech ish Batman.
Oh yeah, you're right.
That's such a wide thing for a billionaire with like who's running around in a vigilante suit. He didn't spring for the extra high tech.
The
but, like,
cowl
what's low
looks
tech?
Like
the
well,
cowl
looks
like
it's made
he's got a
leather.
Motorcycle shaped like a bat.
But
that's
he's probably
not
learning.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
He didn't
the cowl
go,
is
he
leather.
Just go buy like
you
a,
either go Daredevil where you literally have a handkerchief and a scarf tied around your head, or you go Batman of like, okay, no, he's gonna actually invest some money into his.
Yeah,
he didn't go through all the trouble of making bat shaped gauntlets.
Like Bruce Wayne making like his own DIY costume is not the same as like low tech for the rest of us.
I ran out of time. I had to go to Costco to pick up my suit.
That's great.
I went on Craigslist. I got these pop out white eyes. Pop them in, pop them out.
Fiverr.
They had the size for my cowl. Wow. But all right, so go on comicbook.com, take a look at all our the Batman set photos, let us know what you think. The other thing we saw this week was another headpiece that raised some questions, was Woody Harrelson.
Jesus.
We talked about his Cletus Cassidy and getting a look at that, but we got some better set photos this week, and it seems like the real conversational topic is going to be his hairstyle in this. And I mean, the suit is exactly what we said. It was kind of funky palmetto meets
palmetto
reference. You didn't think you'd hear that today, right? Palmetto meets Natural Born Killers kind of outfit.
Where's Elizabeth Shue?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so, like, but what we saw is now this hairstyle. So Carnage, of course, Cletus Cassidy Carnage had, like, a ridiculous wig at the end of the first Venom, so we were all, like, wondering, what is this going to look like? I love that the set photos have people freaking out, and one of them is actually somebody, like, doing his hair on set.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, putting this,
yeah,
like, little weird bang comb down.
He has this weird, like, dent in the hair. It's very odd. Like, is it supposed to be curling under or like waving? I don't.
He's
the Trump like forward brushed toupee situation with some, you know,
it's
shaved
just,
sides.
I could see where they were taking this from inspiration in the comics because Cletus Cassidy has a weird hairstyle, but like. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. It's just
I'm not a fan.
I know. Jim is not a fan over there. Jim is just holding back.
I think it looks worse than the bad one.
I agree.
Oh,
no. With you. I'm with you on this because he's a serial killer and he's kooky and that makes more sense. This is like, hey, I'm trying to look good.
No, this
but...
looks like that. This Cletus Cassidy looks like he's got a white van. And
have you seen what he's wearing? He looks exactly like someone who would have a white van.
I don't know.
The hairpiece fits. I have no, like, is it my favorite? Absolutely not. But, like, I'm not losing my mind over it. Like, that's not it.
I mean, I see the character. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's Carnage.
Crazy bad
hairstyle.
Well, I mean,
it's not Carnage. It's Cletus Cassidy.
And if a guy who's been locked up in mental institutions, it's what he thinks, like, stylish hair looks like.
And he does shop at Costco, okay. Unlike Batman. Yeah. So, you know what? It fits the character.
Hey, Costco's great.
I love Costco.
Like, if I saw that guy sitting in my living room in the middle of the night, like, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be like, I figured it'd be somebody like you. Like, you know.
He doesn't seem scary to me at all. Like, he just seems like a weird uncle to me. He doesn't seem scary at all.
That also brings up a lot of questions
we're not going into. All right. So you can go and check out those set photos and let us know what you think on comicbook.com, Marvel, and comicbook.com, DC. Moving right along, we're going to talk about the Candyman teaser. So we've all kind of been waiting for this new Candyman to come out, and we're kind of getting this trailer coming. Oh, this is just a trailer? Did you just clickbait me?
Yes,
oh, my
the
God.
Teaser for the
trailer teaser? No. Never mind. We're scrapping this topic.
What? It looks good.
Yeah, I'll talk when we get the actual trailer. I just got comicbook.com.
He says it looks good, by the way. They literally, it's a bunch of people saying Candyman.
Well, no, this one is screening.
You see,
no,
you see the Candyman. There's two things.
Yeah, there's
two. You see Candyman drop the hook. Hook looked good. Like, that's...
Yeah. And then you have, like, a really epic screen.
Did you really say the hook looked good?
There's a new poster. The poster looks great. I'm excited for this.
Of said hook.
Well... Obviously, I didn't research this topic before we came and started the show because as closely as I needed to have, comicbook.com got me, yes.
Do we know when the trailer is dropping?
Thursday. So we'll be talking about it on the next show, for Friday's show, okay? Yes, comicbook.com clickbaits us sometimes, and we work here. So don't feel bad.
Good?
And this happens. That is a regular thing. We do get clickbaited by our own site sometimes. We get excited.
It's compelling the click.
Compelling the click.
That's
all right.
Great. Yeah. I like that.
Send
like
your letters to your producer
that was pricey.
All right. Now moving right along to something that's a little bit more substantive. We're going to talk about DC Comics and the big shakeup this week where there's been two publishers, main head publishers at DC. It's been Jim Lee and Mr. Dan Didio. And this week, at the end of last week, it was announced that Dan Didio is leaving. And Jim is going to tell you the inside scoop as to why.
Didio. Anyway.
Dude's gone. I don't need to say
that. That sounds like Sean Paul. Didio.
Sean Paul.
I'm kidding. I like him.
This is a big deal, mainly because DC was setting. It was in the process of setting up its, for all intents and purposes, next big thing. The next thing that it was, you know, looking to set up the future of DC Comics.
5G timeline.
5G, which is supposed to kind of pull together all of the strings back from everything it's done, from New 52 to Rebirth and everything else in between, to kind of set the new definitive timeline for DC Comics. And it already started with Wonder Woman 750, with Wonder Woman being the first superhero of the DC universe. She's a god, immortal. It makes total sense, right? And so then we're going to kind of work through there. The Free Comic Book Day issue was going to lead into that. And then boom, you know, 5G was supposed to have been a world where all the heroes that we know and love have now gone. New people have stepped up kind of in their place. The rumor was Lucius Fox would step up to be Batman. Problem is, when you try and line up something like that, you're going to get a lot of people who are not happy about it. But the biggest thing is that, like, you need to get retailer support. And this needed to have been the shot in the arm DC needs to get back to be competitive. They have been behind Marvel by 15 plus points from a market share standpoint for more than 2 years now. New mama bear AT&T comes in and says, well, what the hell? We have characters that presumably in their eyes are bigger and better than the Marvel characters. We should be, whomping them on every front. And so there's a big question on how is the brand being managed? And in their eyes, DC does not want to feed the direct market anymore. They don't want to continue to pump time and resources into an area that they feel that they are not necessarily getting their return. And the biggest person who was holding them back from that was Dan DiDio. There's a lot of stuff going around on that front. Like, was he hard to work with? Maybe. But there was no one, I would say, at DC who had more passion about actual comic books than Dan DiDio. Whether or not he implemented them in the right way, I think Dan's problem is Dan has this love of these really obscure characters and really obscure ideas, and he tries to really and he tries to push those ideas to the forefront, kind of leveraging his position as publisher to do so, and it kind of falls flat. On the flip side, when it does work, it works with things like bringing Tom King and Mitch Gerrits to do Mr. Miracle. Mr. Miracle is a character that nobody cared about, but yeah. Dan DiDio. And, got Tom and Mitch to make a book that is one of their new best-selling titles. So now it leaves this kind of this vacant hole, right? Jim Lee has really sort of gone to be the more corporate liaison from DC, the brand, and as the representative to Warner Brothers and beyond, right? He had a little bit of involvement in The Joker, a bit of involvement in Suicide Squad. I don't necessarily know how much he had to do with Birds of Prey, but that's kind of his role. Does he necessarily have the time to be focusing on publishing? Probably not. There's been a lot of speculation on who could fit that role, right? People are saying, oh, it's Brian Michael Bendis' time, which I'm like, I don't know. I don't think so. People are saying, well, what about Scott Snyder? And I was like, it's really tough to put people who have primarily been creators into a role like that, where they have to, Brian Michael Bendis, can build these universe-spanning type events and things like that, but I don't necessarily know if he wants to necessarily give up that stuff. The best option I've heard is, ironically, Jeff Loeb. Here's the thing. Here's why. Here's what I'm going to tell you.
I love that reaction.
Jeff Loeb is okay. if you were to pull together DC's top 10 perennial selling books, Loeb's name is probably on 5 of them.
Whoa.
Loeb's heyday.
And after the success of Marvel TV,
DC.
But here's the thing. I think this would be a total Phoenix rebirth kind of move for Jeff. Jeff is someone who I've been in creative editorial retreats with Jeff Loeb at Marvel, and there is no one who understands comic book storytelling in a way than Jeff Loeb does. Jeff Loeb will, for everyone who, every creator who wants to spend 6 issues to tell, to tell their story, Jeff Loeb will be the first one to tell you, if you don't get to the punching within the first 6 pages of your first issue, you're not going to get that person back. And he's, for all of his missteps at Marvel with television and how he potentially, how we probably mismanaged that Marvel television brand, the dude has corporate experience. He knows how he can walk that line. He can probably, help manage the brand in that way. Now, he's just one option out of many, right? Like, there's probably a number of different people, but it was the name that was kind of thrown out, and I was like, well, actually, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, now that you say that, it does.
And he's looking for a job.
To me, that's a safe pick.
Sure.
And I would not, when I saw this news, it was kind of a thing of, is it a spot they're going to fill?
They may not.
Do they need to fill it?
But here's the thing.
Jim Lee is really not. I feel kind of bad for DiDio because he gets a lot of the blame.
Yep.
But like, Jim Lee's been riding shotgun on that car for a while.
Well, and it gets like producing pretty art for us.
But yeah, but that's the thing, right? Everyone loves his, I'm just going to make a Batman splash page and like everything's forgiven. Meanwhile, the other side of that equation gets all the grief from all the things. Now, I didn't like New 52.
Oh, hey, slow down.
Rebirth is fantastic to me. I really liked
Rebirth. I'm the opposite, but I like both.
The Button started out as a promising idea. The Watchmen stuff started out as a promising idea and then kind of...
But those were all Jeff Johns' ideas.
Right? So, okay, so that's my thing. Do they just let this roll And I mean, do you think 5G is done?
I think 5G in its current iteration, or what it was planned to be, the Dan DiDio plan for 5G, yeah, is dead. 5G, because they have already kind of started it, like that train has left the station. So I think it will be, I think it will continue, okay, but in a much different fashion. Because here's the thing, a ton of work has already been produced,
yeah,
for 5G. And they, that is, I don't believe something that Time Warner, or not Warner, but Warner Brothers or AT&T is ready and willing to write off. So they need to figure out a way to make that stuff work.
I think Loeb works really well in that spot.
Yeah,
if he has to make, you're presented a plate of, here's a bunch of half-done stuff, and we need someone to finish it out. Look, his Batman Superman run, the original like two or three arcs, still one of my favorite Batman Superman stories.
Long, I mean, look, Long Halloween, which may be the inspiration for the Batman, you know, the Batman movie coming out, big deal. All the stuff he's done with Tim Sale has just been rock solid. So. Well, that's not to mention, like, the comic stuff that he's done at Marvel.
Hey, we're not going to use this segment to sell Jeff Loeb too much. Let's pull it back.
Call in to the...
we're going to be interested to see who is interesting. We're going to be interested to see, like, what happens here, who gets filled, if they fill it, like Matt said, or... I think if they don't fill it, it'll be a kind of a big writing on the wall sign of like where DC is headed.
Look, internally, Mark Doyle may you know, is a potentially good, he was a former Bat editor. He was in charge of the Black Label stuff. You know, he's been around DC for quite a bit. He's young enough to kind of want to, you know, he's really pushed for a lot of the diversification of characters, creators, and things like that. So he could be someone. I just don't know if, he's got
the... We're not going to go too deep because, I mean, this is inside baseball now.
Definitely.
For like the 17 people who buy DC Comics. So. Yeah, we're going to keep an eye on it and see who comes up and who, or if they get filled, and we'll keep you guys updated on that. Real quick, right before we walked into the studio, we got an update on Jurassic World 3. Production has officially begun, and Colin Trevorrow dropped a kind of production start photo, which revealed the title of the third film, which will be Jurassic World Dominion. Which,
ooh,
I mean, which, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. If you remember where Fallen Kingdom left off, the dinos are now out in the world. They're kind of mixed in with nature. So naturally, like, yeah, a battle for dominion over Earth would be kind of the scientific or evolutionary
thing that's happening. It's like some Godzilla stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Super cool.
So we got to prove we're still the apex predators over these things that used to rule. I almost said people. Well, there are clones running around, but over these dinos that used to rule the world. And coming back for that, of course, the big draw is this will kind of bring everything together full circle, because the original Jurassic Park cast, including Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum, are going to be returning.
Yes.
And
was it Trevorrow who said, or someone said, that like Jurassic World 3 is like he wants it to be the Avengers Endgame of the Jurassic World universe.
Ooh. I mean, and the actual clapper he's using for the production start has the classic Jurassic Park logo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I believe that. And this feels like a full circle kind of coming home. So that was pretty cool. So Dominion, I mean, this will be like I said, I mean, the title implies it's a battle for who's the superior, you know, dominant species. And we'll see how that goes. Somebody's getting a lot of murder to either a lot of humans or a lot of
I'm so much more excited for this after that short film.
Yeah, that short film was great.
It was
right?
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. If you haven't watched that, Trevorrow did a short film after Fallen Kingdom came out. I forget what the title of it is, but just look up Jurassic World short film.
So good.
It's on YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube, and it's great. It's fantastic. Stay tuned, because when we get back, we're going to take some deep dives into the worlds of Star Wars, The Walking Dead, toys, and comics. And yeah, you want to be here for all of that, so stay tuned.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All righty then. So, going to Star Wars, we've been having a lot of conversations about Star Wars and like what's going on after the Rise of Skywalker. And we haven't gotten anything really solid about what's coming next, other than, you know, we're getting a new season of Clone Wars is now in progress. We know when the Mandalorian season 2 is coming. We're getting that limited Obi-Wan Kenobi series and the Rogue One prequel series. But
like, we don't know what's coming, and it's like a huge long list of things coming. Thank you, which Janelle. Is great. Yes. That's really good. It makes me happy.
Yes. Thank you for calling that on my own contradiction of
No, but I feel
myself.
Like everybody feels that way. Everyone's like, oh, where are we gonna go now? But there really is more information.
Well,
out
yes
there than we
know. And no, because this is why I brought this up. And this is a good segue into it. Because we're in this like now Brandon Davis limbo. Where, yes, we have more Star Wars coming, but by Brandon Davis' scale of standards, I don't know if it counts as stuff that matters, quote unquote.
Mm. Wow.
So
That's old.
What we got is there's been a Star Wars kind of project, something in the works called Project Luminous, which we didn't know anything about, but we knew it was in the works, and in the story, and the creative team was hard at work pumping this thing out. And we've all been wondering what that's going to be. Simultaneously, we began to hear rumors that the next set of films would be set in the High Republic, this kind of prequel to the prequels, like 400, 600 years before the events of the prequel trilogy in the Skywalker saga. We'd see the Galactic Republic after the defeat of the Sith Empire at this time of peace, which turned out to be kind of the breeding ground where all the modern problems of the Skywalker saga brewed over, with the Sith making a comeback and Darth Bane and all that stuff. And the Rule of Two first got established and, like I said, all that stuff. So now it seems like we could confirm that, because what Project Luminous turned out to be was Star Wars The High Republic, this whole new kind of era of Star Wars projects we're going to get. And we got a whole trailer for it and a whole kind of rollout reveal. But basically, right now, all it is kind of the non-screen platforms that we're getting this on, right? So no, it's not
publishing.
TV shows.
It's really just it's publishing.
Yeah. Non-screen
but they're using
platforms.
In the trailer, they're just using tons of images from everything besides the publishing, which is so interesting.
They sexied it up and make it look multimedia. They really did sexy it up. I mean, but that's a new thing. Like, every Marvel does that, like, now. They drop trailers that get people excited, like, oh my God, it's the next movie. And it's like a comic. It's like for the next Wolverine comic.
Okay.
And we eat off that, so I'm not complaining. But yeah, so it turned out this is just the publishing arm. So this is just comic books, novels. Things like that are where this High Republic is going in this era, and this kind of new franchise is going to be built in these kind of extraneous parts of the franchise. Which brings us back to kind of the debate we've been having about Star Wars since kind of the Mandalorian hit and Rise of Skywalker hit. And those things drew in a wide mainstream crowd of people to kind of, Rise of Skywalker as an event film, you know, Baby Yoda and The Mandalorian and all that, and Disney Plus. But it also kind of dragged up this old debate about Star Wars and, like, what is true Star Wars? Because, you know, before now in the modern sequel trilogy, it was kind of okay that people were just experiencing the films. And that was, like, you were kind of unencumbered if you just watched the movies. And you never watched any of the animated series or read any of the comics or novelizations or expanded universe stuff. Like, that's never been required. Things have kind of changed now. Now we have a Star Wars franchise where literally things we get in the movies that are hinted at that you think, and, you know, Brandon Davis, why I kind of referenced him, has been freaking out about most of this. You know, we get big events that are referenced in the movies, but we don't see them. And then, like, a comic comes along, like Marvel's Star Wars The Rise of Kylo Ren, which is this limited series happening now, which fills in all these very important details of Kylo Ren's backstory and fully introduces you to the Knights of Ren, who Ren was, and, like, what his deal was, and, like, all of that. You know, all the backstory of Luke Skywalker's Jedi Temple and how that went down and how he built it and when it fell, what happened. So that's all in a comic book. And, you know, Brandon, and he's not alone. I use BD as a lightning rod, but he's not alone. Like, a lot of people have been freaking out that they shouldn't have to go to a comic to get this information that should be in the movies and yada, yada, yada. So it brings up this really interesting question now, when we're building a whole new Star Wars franchise in this whole new era that's never really been explored, but it's only going to be in these kind of, like I said, extraneous comics and novels. And they're aimed at, like, different groups of people. There's going to be adult ones, kid ones, all this stuff. But, like, will this even register or matter to most fans until we get the announcement that there's that High Republic first movie coming?
I've got two things on this front. One, we've been here before, right? This is Shadows of the Empire 2.0, right? And this is when all of the now, you know, thrown out Legends content that was created with the novels and they, like, all had diehard, you know, fan bases,
stuff,
right?
Man.
And then, you know, when Disney bought Lucas and they've tried to figure out what are we going to take and what are we not going to take, man, all of that stuff was just thrown out the window. I don't think necessarily think they will throw this stuff out the window, but I don't think this stuff is going to matter in five years.
I think it's different. I think that what they're doing now is kind of the reverse of what happened in the sequel trilogy, where you got those movies introducing all these ideas that they had to then run and fill in with backstory and comics and stuff. I think they're going to set the foundation. This is kind of the boring part, establishing the world, establishing the characters, and when I say world, we're establishing like an entire new universe here.
That's actually kind of exciting for people who kind of are new to the franchise or like who didn't really dive into all of that extra stuff with the Skywalker, like myself, for example. Like, I feel like I could get into this, and then when the movies and the TV shows drop, I'll be like, yeah, I know everything.
Yeah, I don't get why you're so dismissive about it.
I said this earlier, I think Lucasfilm is being too precious about Star Wars. We don't need to be precious about Star Wars. I think we need to lean into the things that resonate with fans of Star Wars, but also like, what are the big things that are sticking out to new fans of Star Wars,
like,
and
beyond.
Kind of lean in on that front. Well, do we really need to reintroduce like what I imagine just by looking at the covers looks like 20 new Jedi? Like, do we need that?
Yeah. I mean, this is the first time, because all of the things you're talking about, and the thing that Star Wars always skated by on, is this one repetitive story, this kind of circular story, which is the Skywalker saga, that just literally repeats itself three different cycles of, you know, the Chosen One getting tempted and either falling or rising or none of that. So, like, yeah, you got to reintroduce, because now to say, like, we got to just stick to the things that appeal to Star Wars fans, that's impossible anymore, because all of it was built on this very circular nostalgia.
That's boring.
That's now, kind of boring one, and now totally over. Like, it's gone. We're literally going into a new universe. Mm-hmm. So what I think they're doing is they're taking a safe approach. Like, if a book sucks and a storyline sucks, yeah, you're never going to hear about it again. That character, that angle.
They're learning.
But if there's somebody that jumps out as a major new villain or
like
a major
Kylo
new hero, like, yeah.
I mean,
all
this
of a sudden, you're going to know who's going into that movie and like what's going to go. And they're
creating their own Marvel.
Yeah,
you know?
and they're doing that. And this is just like extended focus group testing for their next movie.
You're looking for the next Spider-Gwen. You're looking for the next whatever. And when that character comes,
because here's what they've learned.
Right?
If you just start trying to break the old formula and do something new, you're going to have that Last Jedi beef again.
Yeah.
If you keep trying to dip into the nostalgia pool, you got the Rise of Skywalker beef now. So now you're in this rock and a hard place. So, like, yeah, you're going to have to reinvent Star Wars, and you don't want to risk it on a big movie that could flop.
I think
so
my thing
test
is, I don't know if this goes far enough back. I mean, the High Republic only goes back 200 years.
No, it's about 400 to 600.
Oh, is it? Because I guess I thought it was 200.
Yeah. No,
even
I think it's about 400.
200
yeah.
years would be a pretty significant thing. But 400 to 600 is like a giant space.
200 years is really is two generations. If you're going two generations back, you know.
Well, the era of the High Republic and the Great Peace is like an 1,000-year story before the events of the prequels start to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
From the end of the Sith War to till the Sith kind of begin and Palpatine began to make his moves again. That's a 1,000-year span in canon now. So,
look,
like,
I just want them to go back to the old.
So it's kind of like,
what I want.
That's
why I'm upset.
Yeah,
I want old Republic stuff.
And like, I would have liked that too. I would have liked to see the Jedi versus like the Sith army, and when there was an entire army of this and like happening. But the reason why they're doing the High Republic is because it's undefined.
Sure,
it's been talked about in canon, but there's no project set in that time period.
And it really gives
and it's just
them
like
a
big
canvas,
blank slate.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. And they've already been building up to it in the comics, in the movies. Like in Rise of Skywalker, that place is, we used to be a Jedi outpost. Palpatine's thing was an old outpost from the High Republic days. There's one in Kylo Ren that's very pivotal
that's
to the
cool.
Knights of Ren origin. Like,
to me, sounds real boring.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, it wasn't Jim.
You're such, why are
and
you such
this is
a
where
troll?
You expand that Jim is like a general master of knowledge into all of these things, but you're missing the finer details, because the High Republic, it was this great piece in the sense that the Sith was defeated, there was a republic, a functioning government, but what happened in that time period were all these smaller kind of skirmishes that weren't official wars, but they were big skirmishes.
But who cares?
People
I
that aren't
that's
you.
That's their job. They
we already
care.
To we just know what the biggest
I mean, it's a fair,
threat
it's
of
a
this
fair,
universe is.
Yeah, but it's a fair question. But I think at this point in this new universe, things like the extended Mandalorian War, which took place in this time period.
Fair.
people are going to care about. Yeah.
Fair. Mandalorian also, War, fair.
But also people
there's more than this.
Just enamored with the current Skywalker saga are looking for something different
but
in Star Wars.
Even, I'm even saying separate from the Skywalker thing. We already know what like the biggest threat of this universe is. It is the Sith, right?
And this is where they kind of got back to power. Like this is... Part of this story is going to be the hubris of the Jedi thinking that they beat the Sith, it's all over, and the Sith having to kind of, there is a big Sith story in this. Them having to go back to the drawing board and saying, you know, our empire, this whole idea didn't work, but what if we learn just to, you can't rule people. That's not the way it works. You have to kind of, the dark side's more subtle, you got to manipulate them, you got to do this. There can only be two, and like figuring that all out.
Right. That's more what I want. Like, that's more what I'm interested in. And that's where, and like none of that was real. I mean, they said that the big evil threat of this High Republic thing are freaking space Vikings. Sorry.
bleep sound. Yeah, there are space Vikings, but that's just the first, like, this is just the first thing. Like in the Phantom Menace, it was a droid army and the Viceroys, like, were our big villains. You know what I mean? Like,
so wait, bottom line, like, when this video dropped, did you guys feel excitement about it? Did it inspire any kind of, like, emotion from you? I got excited.
Yeah, I got really excited because I like the character concepts, I like the villain concepts, and I like
the villain sketches. Yeah. Oh, I loved those. Yeah,
those all look good. I mean, the artists they're bringing in for this are great. And the thing I think that people haven't connected yet is what they're doing kind of subtly is interjecting a very big kind of Star Trek-y element to this because at this time, the Jedi are a major peacekeeping force. They're not just like, every time we've seen them, they've been kind of, yeah, the council was there in the prequels, but they were just kind of having a blind eye and they weren't, we didn't get to see a lot of like the stuff we saw in Clone Wars with them actually going out around the universe and adventuring and doing all that stuff. But this is basically what this is going to be. Them going into different parts. A lot of it has to do with like the Outer Rim territories, they were saying, like in where a lot of the action will be is in these kind of Wild West frontiers of the Star Wars universe. And the Jedi as a kind of peacekeeping force going out there and doing these kind of Star Trek type things, discovering new races, having new experiences, basically like charting this map.
It's Green Lantern Star Wars.
Yeah, it's Green Lantern Star Wars, which sounds cool to me. So, Jim, like, yeah. So, I think there's going to be more potential here. And I like that they're going to be able to use comics and books and kind of figure out their way here and build a legitimate foundation so that there's actually something to talk about when we go into a new movie.
I'm excited for more, even just speaking solely on the comics front, for more for comics that are outside of the Skywalker saga. Like, I feel like that's been fairly done to death.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wish there was a bigger...
Cue to when we cut to Jim finally coming around and was like, I'm liking this.
6 months from now.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this is a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad they explored
this. But all right, that's fair enough.
Hoping for the best.
All right, so that's Star Wars. You could go on comicbook.com, Star Wars, and get all the fine details about this, like the Wookiee Jedi, a look at the new villains. Like, yeah, a lot of fun stuff in here.
Pandering.
A Wookiee Jedi is awesome.
It's pandering.
No, C-3PO
in
every movie.
Where are these high morals for everything else? That's pandering.
A Wookiee Jedi is long overdue, not pandering. So, now, going from Star Wars over to Janelle's expertise side of the
planet. Oh my gosh.
We're going to talk Walking Dead. We put this in here just for you, just to give you...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because I'm so happy.
Give you some After the Dead nostalgia.
So, first of all my Walking Dead people, hello. We're still here. I'm still a huge fan, too. So, thanks for being a fan with me.
Hashtag WD fam.
Yes, I love it. I love The Walking Dead. Huge fan of Greg Nicotero. Huge fan of the whole entire storyline of following it. It's the only comic book series that I have actually read the entire thing. And I'm pumped about it. The season, mid-season premiere aired.
We call it 10B.
Okay, yeah, 10B came out on Sunday. And
it's also just the title of this episode.
There was like a lot of stuff going on, like a lot of notable things. But to me, something that they really tried to hit hard with was the end, where they may have killed off two characters. By the way, spoilers. Everyone,
yeah.
Spoilers
for The Walking Dead season 10B premiere. Spoilers.
There are a few points in the episode where you would think that maybe this person may die, which is nice because we sometimes
and
don't feel that.
And one sex scene where I thought I was going to die.
The sex scene. Yo, Kofi, what do you think about Negan with his clothes off?
I mean, they were both very dirty.
They were, yes. All they I could think about was the smell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I mean,
whenever a sex scene starts making you think about the smell, that's never a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, the mask, she didn't. So Alpha and Negan had a moment of just you're kind of scared for Negan that he may be murdered by Alpha. She's leading him out into the woods. She says, strip down.
Instead, she was going to murder that
ace. And he turns around. And she is naked with the mask on. So she's wearing her Whisperer mask.
They bumped Douglas.
And she proceeds to thank him.
You just got to him.
Oh, God. She proceeds to thank him in a way that he would understand because he is a crude man. And she bangs him in the woods with the mask on, kisses him with the mask on. That is all just weird to me. But
there's been a lot of unsettling stuff on that show.
Yeah.
This nears the top of the
list. Yeah, it really did.
And I'm also, I guess, standing was the position, some kind of standing position, because I don't think they, anyways, moving on. One of the craziest moments for me personally was they were trapped. The episode starts where they're trapped in a cave.
Yeah, this was not good for you claustrophobics
I'm
out there.
I'm personally claustrophobic. And when Carol, we come to find out, is claustrophobic, and she proceeds to have a straight up panic attack. And I started to have a panic attack as well. I was standing up, jumping up and down, screaming at the television in a few moments of the tight spaced crawling out of the cave scene, especially with Jerry.
Jerry, yeah, that got me.
Oh my God.
The broad shouldered man. I was like, oh God.
He's huge.
This is my nightmare.
He's 6'2, big man. He's a joy on the show. He's one of like the only comic relief characters, and he's so joyful and happy, and he just like brings so much spirit to the show. So if we lost him, I would freak out. But yeah, he got wedged in a crevice and couldn't get out, and walkers were grabbing at his feet, and it was just really, really terrifying. And my heart, the tight space, man, that got to me more than, like I said, the end scene where we could have possibly lost two characters. I didn't even need that, because the cave walker stuff just messed with me so much and had my heart racing so much that I didn't even need that fear factor in the end. We still don't know what's going to happen to those two characters. They could still be okay. But you know, the show is
for
not
sure,
fearful
they got some other
of
projects they
off.
Need to go tend to.
Yeah.
I think don't they both have Marvel projects? I know the deaf actress does, but I feel like the other one also was cast in something.
I mean, they're great actresses, so that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like they're great, but I just think they did a really good job. Sometimes The Walking Dead gets a bad rap on kind of losing its basis, which is the fear of walkers, right? Like, and in this episode, they gave us like fear of a bad community, which is the Whisperers, and fear of like tight spaces. And they also rolled in the walkers, which is nice because sometimes we lose that with storylines and like story progression and character development. Like this time it was about the walkers. It hit all the notes I wanted it to hit. And I'm sucked in. I'm really excited. I can't wait for next week's episode. And bravo. Love it.
Yeah. That claustrophobic stuff was kind of nuts.
So messed up.
I haven't been that bad since The Descent.
Oh, God. I literally keep getting goosebumps. I can't stop myself. I'm envisioning these scenes, and I can't imagine. I wonder where they shot. I want more information on where they shot this, what it looked like behind the scenes for them to be shooting.
So I cannot
go there. I want to know. I know they shoot in Georgia, and I'm from Florida, and people don't realize there's caves, like, all in Florida, and they're tiny like that, really tight. So I would imagine it was somewhere in Georgia. It'd probably be cool to explore. But yeah, it was really scary. Did you watch it?
I did not.
No, there's definitely a reason why that episode was called Squeeze.
Oh, God.
It's because of the main squeeze that Alpha took on.
We also had a good performance from Norman, Daryl.
Oh, I was like, good
when he thought he lost or could have lost someone important to him.
Yeah. No, there was...
We always like check Norman tears. It's kind of like a meme. Like there was like one scene early on in the series where he cried and it was like the funniest ugly cry ever. So Walking Dead fans always check his like emotional scenes. They're like, is he going to do the cry? I think in an interview once he said
never
he's like,
cry in public.
No, he was like mortified. He talked about this before.
Oh,
he hated the way that he looked when he cried. So it changed the way he cried on camera. It's just really cool. Anyways, I'm so glad it's back. I'm such a fan.
Yeah, I mean, Walking Dead has been better. I've been an advocate right now. BD's here. He said it. But since you take out the Grimes family saga, it's been good because you don't know who's going to live, who's going to die. It brings real stakes because now like it feels like anybody could go except Norman Reedus, basically.
Yeah.
Carol.
Those are
like the only two
who
can't go. But you never know. The good thing is they may want to go now, so they might die anyway.
No.
So
they can't go before Maggie comes back.
Oh my gosh, Maggie.
Everybody's done forgot about Maggie.
No, I have not.
I totally forgot about her. I thought she had already left.
That's what it feels like. She should leave,
but now she's coming back.
Oh, okay.
You guys, we need to meet Herschel, little baby Herschel. Glenn's offspring. Hello. Yes.
He's only going to get one scene. He can only afford a baby for that. Like,
oh my gosh.
He needs to.
And then he'll always be off camera.
To catch on with America.
I just think it'll be really crazy if we do see in the future, we see Negan meeting baby Herschel. I think that would be kind of insane.
What if we had a baby Negan?
No, no thanks.
And a baby Herschel. And they meet.
Alpha
and that's the next.
And they fall in love. They live happily ever after.
No,
I'm just kidding.
This scene with Negan was an Easter egg to the comic where later he cuts off Alpha's head, but
exactly. That's all I can think about.
Now they could
I
get
thought
pregnant.
He might have done it during that intimate moment. I was like, well, maybe this is his big chance.
Probably exists.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it would be funny if like he went to kill her in the end, and then she was just like, "By the way, I'm pregnant," and then he was like,
"Oh my god!"
And then run off together,
and then the baby stops her dying because like it heals.
Stop.
Her
just
he definitely wants this to be like sci-fi
fanfic. No, keep your comic books. Speaking of which, we're gonna move on. You can get all our coverage and breakdowns of this Walking Dead season 10B premiere on comicbook.com. The Walking Dead. Now, since obviously Matt has some very fantastical things in his head, we'll let you do a rundown of comics where this kind of talk belongs. So give us your quick rundown of comics, because then we got to recap Toy Fair and get out of here.
All right. So we're going to run through this real quick. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 48 is the return of Ranger Slayer. What? One of the coolest new characters in comics.
I love that
period.
Name.
I know, right? It's
awesome. You can only have Slayer. One live, Ranger Slayer Cardiac.
Sounds like a Halo, like
oh,
after
that's
you kill
mean.
Someone.
What? Oh. I'll have to come
real
back to
Sophie's
that.
Choice.
I have to come back to that. Okay.
Sophie didn't get extra time.
Amethyst number one. We also have Batgirl number 44. Batman Beyond number 41. We have Batman Curse of the White Knight number 7. I still love this series so much, and it's almost over because issue 8 will be the finale of this. This is the Black Label book, and it's been fantastic. And it has this is a spoiler, but it's not really a story spoiler. I just want to say it has one of the coolest little Batman 89 Easter eggs in it. And if you love the Batman 89 Batmobile, you will love this issue because like Sean Murphy draws the snot out of it.
I thought they already announced another sequel to this, is that?
No,
because you know they're not gonna stop that money train. They're just gonna.
I mean, there's been a spinoff already. Yeah. There's a one shot, but yeah, they haven't announced it yet. I imagine it's coming though. Batman Overdrive, which is the new middle grade book as part of the old DC Inc. line, which has been great. Far Sector number 4, still one of the coolest Green Lantern books around.
Is that still being drawn by Jamal Campbell?
Yeah, and it's beautiful.
So good.
It's
that dude is so
stunning. It's a gorgeous book. Leviathan Dawn. Number one, I'm not going to say anything else about that. Tales for Tales of the Dark Multiverse hardcover. We talked about it a few times. This was the kind of what if alternate scenario of all these different classic DC stories done in the Dark Multiverse thing, and it's all collected into one. So if you liked any of them, which actually some of them are really good, they're all in one place now. We also have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Jenica, number one. Jenica is the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, the newest one coming to the series. So
love
now she's
name.
Getting her own spinoff.
Jenica.
Right? It's awesome.
Ooh,
Weatherman Volume 2. I still love this book. And so if you're behind, you can catch up on the second volume. Volume 3 will conclude the series, and that comes out later this year. 2020 Force Works. I don't know if there are any Force Works people in the house. I just love that old team. And so now they have a new iteration.
Wait, the Image one?
No,
the Marvel one.
The Marvel.
Oh, okay.
You remember Force Works, the cartoon?
And
oh, it was awesome. Anyway, well, I thought it was awesome at the time.
And it's basically a book for anyone over 30.
Well, this one's back. This one doesn't have all those characters, though, but it does have some great characters. Like, I didn't expect Gauntlet to get used in a book, which was awesome. Ant-Man number 2, Avengers number 31. There are actually a couple really interesting revelations in this book, so don't miss that.
Does it start the Moon Knight arc, or are we still one issue away from that?
This is one issue away from it. We also have Avengers of the Wasteland number 2. The Old Man Logan, Dead Man Logan version of the Avengers has actually been kind of interesting, so excited to see where it goes. Dawn of X Volume 2. Collecting all the second issues of the of the Dawn of X. However, I will say Marauders, the trade, the actual one that just collects Marauders, is coming out in April. So they are coming with just the individual series. So if you don't want to get all of these, which is ridiculous, you can do that. Falcon and Winter Soldier, number one. Fantastic Four, Grim Noir, number one. We have Giant Size X-Men, Jean Grey, and Emma Frost. This is actually really good. It's gorgeous.
I really like this
one. Russell Dauterman art is...
When I got... this is a slight spoiler, but it's mostly a silent issue.
Yes.
And when I got to like three pages in of it being a silent issue, I was like, ugh. But once you get to the very
last time
end,
they did that was during the whole Marvel silent issue week or month that they did all silent issues. And that was like one of the best issues of New X-Men was Jean Grey and White Queen had to go inside Professor X's mind to save him and get her back.
This is almost that was beat for amazing. Beat. For the
first, that's awesome.
This is almost that beat for beat for a first couple of pages. But where it ends and what that means for, you know, the future of the X-Men stuff is incredibly interesting.
Yeah, it's really good.
So it's a very, I would say it's a very important issue.
Yes.
So if you're
and all these giant
size
books linked together, by the way, they are actually telling a story. So they're one shots, as Jamie pointed out, they're one shots, but they are actually linked. So good to keep up. Nightcrawler's getting one very soon. We also have New Mutants number 8, Spider-Ham number 3. We also have Star Wars number 3. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, Volume 12, the final volume in the series. It is now in trade, so if you want to collect that, you should, because it's awesome. We also have Strike Force, Volume 1, collecting that first issue with Spider-Woman Fever. X-Force number 8, X-Men number 7, and the first issue was excellent anyway, so X-Men Fantastic Four number 2 comes out. I'm actually very intrigued by the possibilities of that. So that is comics.
Cool.
Well, you're not done yet, because now you and Jim got to recap what you started in the last show when you guys were talking about Toy Fair.
Yeah, we teased Toy Fair.
So now you got to talk about what you actually did see.
This is exciting. And what's hot.
So, all I care about is Todd McFarlane's Kickstarter Spawn figure, because good God, I need it so much.
So, okay. So for those who weren't paying attention to the Toy Fair, because a lot of stuff actually came out of Toy Fair this year, a surprising amount, actually. Yeah. I wasn't expecting this to be that big. Todd McFarlane is doing a Kickstarter to essentially, he's calling them his Masterworks series, and he's going to redo the old original Spawn figures, which he actually showed one in the packaging, which was kind of cool. So I forget what year those came out, but he's going to do the old school packaging, but do the old figures, which I think there were 9. And he's going to do them in the new updated McFarlane style. He showed a prototype of one. It's gorgeous. Wow. And he was pointing out a bunch of flaws in all the old toys. This rubber, this was rubber. I can totally do better than that. He was crapping all over his old toys.
And everyone who has one is just
like, I know, right? Yeah,
it's
like, oh, geez. But if they're like the prototype, it's gorgeous. It's got like a foldable cape.
Yes, the big thing around that original figure was that the cape folded around like this front of Spawn, and you can like open it up and give him a nice big cape. This is like that, but on steroids.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the new Batman suit's going to be like.
Now, here's the thing. You bring up Batman. It's actually interesting because real quick, Tom McFarlane recently started doing the DC figures. And if you look at this figure and you look at like one of his DC figures, you're going to notice a difference, and it kind of makes you go, can I get a Batman like that Spawn? Like
that's not Todd's fault. That's DC's fault.
I'm just saying that it is one of those things you don't really think about, but then you see them up close and you go, okay, like I want a Batman that looks like that. So hopefully that's the case later. Speaking of Star Wars, Baby Yoda Fever is in high gear. The animatronic Baby Yoda that was shown off is actually almost sold out everywhere.
What is the price point on that?
I forget what his price point is. It's kind of it's a little more expensive, but still.
When you say expensive, what?
Like expensive in...
It's like $60.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
More than 20, which is kind of typically what like $19.99.
I thought you were going to tell me like $150.
Here's the thing. They had something like this that they released with that was a Chewbacca. It was a Chewbacca toy that, you know, would react to you talking to it, and it would move its arms a bit. It would do a number of different things like that. And this is that, but really like an updated version of it, which the Chewbacca toy is very, very cool. So it makes perfect sense for them to do something like this for Baby Yoda. So.
And it's cool looking. There's also it's part of the lightsaber line, Darth Revan. Mm-hmm. That saber looks awesome. It's part of their like FX spiffy like line of lightsabers. It looks really cool. There's also
another bit of Lucasfilm just picking what they want from the old legend stuff.
And now they'll have a whole new world.
You either
take
all of it or none of it. No, I don't hate this cherry pick.
There was a lot of Funko Pops announced. My Hero got a slew of really cool looking
Endeavor,
pops.
That Endeavor one is just
gorgeous. Is one of the coolest pops like ever. Yu-Gi-Oh! Got a slew of really cool looking pops. Marvel's Avengers got
Exodia,
some really cool
ones. He's just going to gloss over the Exodia pop? Like, whoa.
I for Yu-Gi-Oh! For he was so excited.
For Yu-Gi-Oh!
I've never
fans,
actually seen him so excited.
For Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans, the Exodia pop, it is legit. I am definitely day one getting one of those.
Wow. I was more excited for the Office pops that came out because I have Stanley with a pretzel and I have Meredith in the not safe for work blurred out.
That is
casual
great.
Friday pop. It was amazing. We also had Disney villains, Wonder Woman 1984, Inuyasha. Am I saying that correct?
Inuyasha. Yeah.
Inuyasha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those were the first ones, I believe. They've never had their own pop, so now they have their own series. Mighty Ducks got their own pop.
What?
Pop. One of my favorites of the weekend, though, was the pop albums, which was recreating famous album covers. And their first one is the Notorious B.I.G.
No.
And it's the baby, and it's the bet. It looks
what?
Amazing.
It.
It looks amazing.
Stop it.
Yes. So
that was their debut. That was their first one.
That was their first one.
I might need that.
Me too. Oh, God.
Also, the Valkyrie on a Pegasus pop looks really cool. So
ooh, yeah.
We also got Hasbro revealed a bunch of stuff. G.I. Joe Classified, their new Marvel Legends line of G.I. Joe figures. We also got AEW's debut of their figures, which actually look really good. Mm-hmm. Marvel Legends teased a bunch of stuff, but the highlights are, I know Kofi's a big fan like me, Age of Apocalypse, Apocalypse, and it's gorgeous. There's also
Build-A-Figure
Sugar Man.
That's it.
Coming. They revealed a bunch of other regular figures, which all look really good. But the biggest thing is that they tease at the end. I remember when we were talking
about it. They announced it.
No, they teased it. It was at the end. They left it and they go, we'll just let the video play. And then they let essentially like this screen highlights mutants in the crowd and it's showing X-Men and it's all done from like this machine interface looking like a Sentinel. They didn't show it, but I cannot wait because that is one of the biggest things I wanted for years is them to just release Sentinels by themselves.
That's not what I was talking
about. What were you talking about?
You're totally missing probably the biggest announcement of that entire thing.
Are you talking
thing?
About the movies?
X-Men. X-Men movie figures.
I'm not
X-Men movie figures. That's a huge deal.
I get it, but that's not. I don't care
because when these movies were coming out, this was the Marvel Fox Cold War.
Yes,
and we got zero movie. We got garbage movie figures.
Yes,
garbage ones, and now we're getting Deadpool movie figures.
Yes,
we're getting
which look very good.
We're getting real scan Ian McKellen. Patrick Stewart,
Michael Fassbender,
and James McAvoy, Xavier and Magneto figures, like those. That's
so if you've
insane.
Really been wanting to buy a movie Xavier figure,
and
clear
damn,
your
a
shelf.
Movie franchise, great, no
three people,
around.
and a great looking Hugh Jackman Wolverine figure.
But, okay, the Hugh Jackman Wolverine is right. It looks really good, and people will actually care about that figure. The other figures, no one's going to care.
Jackman
I'm sorry,
costume.
But no one's going to care. They care more about the
if they
other
put out
figures.
A Days of Future Past line of Hasbro Marvel
yeah, I mean,
Legends,
Days of Future Past.
People are going to buy the S out of them.
I agree, but I'm not buying a Michael Fassbender Magneto yes. or a... Now, it's cool that it comes with a Patrick Stewart head,
yeah, that's
but
the
I'm
reason
not
to
buying
buy it.
A James McAvoy Professor X. I'm okay, sorry, I don't care.
Just take the head off, throw it out, and put the Patrick Stewart head on
which
there.
Is fair, and what a lot of people will probably do. So those figures did come out. Also, I am going to get to my personal love here. This was a huge weekend for Power Rangers. One, the Dragon Dagger. Hasbro revealed their first replica weapon of the Lightning Collection light. It looks awesome. It actually plays the song.
Did they not do Saba?
Nope. They have not done Saba.
Oh, that was the last
Bandai did the last Saba. So they've done helmets.
Yep.
They have not done a weapon. So this is the first one. It looks awesome. It looks really cool. It comes with a stand. It glows. Like, this thing is, like, full on. Also, Wave 5.
I'm not
going to
lie.
The...
I like the Bandai one better, but...
Oh, my God. You're one of those? Jeez, Jim. Wow. You're such a troll
this
today.
This one looks way right. more like a toy. Like,
no,
it looks
doesn't.
More like a
it,
toy than a...
We need that perspective.
Every show needs a heel.
Oh,
we need
okay.
that.
We also got Wave 5 of the Lightning Collection. I'm sure he'll find something wrong with this one as well. It does come with a great lineup, including Ranger Slayer is getting the figure. I was told that I would never get, you know who you are, and I shout out that person. And then also, we got our first look at the big upcoming crossover team-up, which is going to have Jason from Red Ranger from the original Power Rangers. Oh, Austin St. John is returning. We got to see him in a clip doing the Morphin Time thing where he's about to morph,
that's
crossing over
cool.
with Beast Morphers. That comes out later this year. And pay attention to comicbook.com for more reveals on that. But it looks awesome. The new season looks great. And then also, we got a... I have another thing here. Where is it? I got Wave 5. Okay, never mind.
Air, Matt.
The other thing, though, what I am going to shout at is we had talked about, I teased it, I think, on the last episode, was if you want to take a look at the Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle designs, you can see them on comicbook.com. They look really, like, ridiculous and fun, and, like, April O'Neil's the Pink Ranger, Raphael is, of course, the Red Ranger, Donatello's the Black Ranger, the coolest
one.
The designs look really cool. So if you're looking for Power Rangers coverage, check it out on the site. So that is Toy Fair in a nutshell.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, if you're just getting acquainted with the show, we put up new episodes every Wednesday and every Friday on comicbook.com, where you can subscribe to our RSS feed and get regular updates about the show, or you can subscribe on your favorite listening platform. We are on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists, or you can find videos of the show on the comicbook.com YouTube page. If you want to continue the discussion, ask us any questions, or just shout us out, hit us up at the hashtag comicbooknation, or you can reach me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can reach me at Janelle Wheeler and on Twitch, same name.
And you can find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
And if you like the show, go on iTunes, leave us a nice 5-star review. I think sometime next week we're going to hop in and do review reading. We'll do it when everybody's here so we can have some fun with that. And if we read your 5-star review from iTunes on the show, we'll send you some comic book swag in the form of a Comic Book Nation t-shirt with that nice thread count.
Dude, I love these shirts. I say it every time. I love these shirts. I wear them all the time.
They are really good shirts. They are legit good. That's why I try to talk them up. I get a lot of crap for it, but, you know, I'm just trying to sell our wares that we're giving away for free and 5-star reviews. So if you want one of those, be sure to leave your 5-star review on iTunes. Otherwise, that'll do it for this show. We'll see you guys when we come back next time. This is Comic Book Nation, and we're out of here.
Deuces.